come and have a look at my talk. I will basically talk about how to buy something that's free. And that's an interesting concept because we all have to deal with it, being open source minded people. And there's a lot of misunderstanding in the general corporation and governmental world actually how to handle open source projects, or even how a business model can exist around open source products. Because, well, to most, especially procurement officers, buying something that's free makes no sense at all, and therefore it can never work, and therefore it can never be bought, and therefore, yeah, you can see where I'm going. But first, let me say hi. This is me. I'm Hans de Waard, owner of Open Innovations. Open Innovations is a Dutch partner for Colab Systems AG. So we do implementations, security consulting. I teach at the Yale University of Applied Science, and basically I do whatever I like and with which I can find a customer. And we're not alone. We're working together with a couple of other companies and freelancers to provide services. I find it absolutely paramount to have at least one picture of my car in every presentation. And a personal challenge of mine is also to at least say something remotely connected to my actual topic about my car. And the thing about my car is that, in essence, it is an open source community on four wheels. It has modular parts. The parts all have open prints. If you have a really advanced 3D printer, you can actually print out my car, assemble it, and have it working. And the beauty about that is, actually, my car is not only an open source ecosystem on wheels, it's also an economic ecosystem on wheels. Because thanks to my car, at least three garages in my nearby home vicinity are able to service my car on a regular basis. They all have their specialities, and they can work on my car as contrary to modern cars. I used to have a newer Mercedes ML before this, and with that car, I practically only could go to the Mercedes-Benz dealer. Well, which wasn't that bad, because they had decent coffee and stuff, but still, I like the concept of being independent and open. And the thing about my car also is that I work with computers day in, day out, and I want something to be as reliable as possible and as simple as possible. Therefore, I own a car that doesn't have computers. So whenever somebody sets off an electromagnetic pulse over the Netherlands, my radio won't work, but my car will still drive. So what's my background in public procurement? Well, basically, I've been advising Dutch governmental agencies for a number of years now in how to handle open standards and open source and basically service type oriented products, how to procure them. And I've been involved in a number of EU tenders, both in defining the requirements and in the eventual selection process. And I've also had the pleasure to attend at least three court cases surrounding those tenders, because eventually you will always piss off somebody, and that somebody usually is the party not getting the contract. How strange. So, at the moment I'm still involved in Dutch governmental circles, especially through my association with the Forum Standardization, which in the Netherlands is the governmental body deciding on which open standards are mature enough for adoption in governmental realms. This actually was the body that in, what was it, 2004 or 5, adopted ODF as being the leading document standard in the Netherlands, and I was the sorry soul who get to implement ODF within the Ministry of Interior and the Ministry of Justice. If any one of you during that period of time experienced the same, I strongly sympathize with you. But still, It was fun. All right, so how does procurement work in general? Usually, an itch needs to be scratched at some point. And organizations tend to solve problems or perceived problems by adding new items into an equation. I rarely come across organizations that have a sense of urgency or perceive a problem and then decide to cut out something. Because apparently in our human psychology, it sounds really good to add stuff to a problem, because that implies that you're actively working towards something new or more. That sounds better than taking stuff away from a problem for some reason. And basically that's why procurement will, until the end of times, be a popular hobby of a lot of, at least governmental organizations and other parties. So you will need some requirements. You will put these requirements out into the market, request any kind of proposal. You will then enter a selection and a decision process. But in general, the most important bit is the fact that you actually have to fulfill such a procedure to acquire a product. And if this whole procedure sounds strange to you, being open source minded, well, it is, because being open source minded and using open source software, well, basically what we do is we formulate our requirements, then we go to git.colab.org, we download Colab, install Colab, and then we have Colab. Notice what's missing here? The rest of the procedure. So the whole open source thingy makes procurement officers a bit itchy, because it goes outside of them. And that's exactly what I want to talk about, because we need to figure out a way to frame the open source propositions into viable units, or we need to frame our business model regarding the open source product into a viable unit. Because to a procurement officer, if it doesn't come in a box with a ribbon around it, it must not be a product. Therefore, it must be a service, and services are strange, but okay, we can handle that as long as it's man hours or woman hours, and we charge money for that. But that whole notion is different with open source, of course. And therefore, open source is usually also often put in the corner of bespoke software. So bespoke software being usually a risk for your organization's future strategy, because it can only be maintained by one party, etc., etc. And usually, if this sounds strange to you, well, it does, but it is actually the misunderstanding that's going on in this region. So procurement starts with an itch, and this itch can be something that's missing, something that needs to be replaced, something that needs to be updated, something at all. It can be an organizational demand or whatever, but at some point, in almost any IT tender, you will see a couple of principles, which basically mean whatever we're going to buy must be exactly what we already have, or at least be so similar to what we already have that we don't actually notice it's there. And for years and years and years, governments and also corporations have explicitly specified that whenever they bought a computer, it should be the Wintel platform. Literally, in the public procurement requirements, Intel possesses Windows operating system, period. The EU, the European Commission had already in, I think it was even 2001, decided that this was an undesirable policy because, well, vendor lock-in, yada, yada, yada. I'm sure I don't have to bore you with all these details. But countries went on doing this. Actually, I was in a public tender in 2009. It was the Easy 2010 tender for the Dutch government, which was a government-wide tender for Dutch national government to basically replace all desktops and servers and printers and data center, etc. And I was liaison for the forum standardization back then, so I had to take a stand to make sure that open standards got in there and competition was built into. And the first requirement that the working group came up with was, we need Microsoft Windows and we need Intel. That was in 2008. So between the European Commission deciding something and a national government actually doing it, there can be quite some time. But the whole concept of the tender in general is to make sure that you end up with a product that fits into your infrastructure anyway. And a lot of effort actually is put into the contractual phase, which basically means who can sue who whenever something goes south. And that's also a bit of an issue with open source licenses in general, because they state that the software is free as is without any warranty, etc. And as soon as you show such a line to a procurement officer, well, usually they turn green and they're like, really can't be good. If they upfront deny all accountability, then it must be rubbish. So that's something we need to work at too. We need to work at the perception, and also we need to explain how to actually sell open source, because public tenders are, and it doesn't matter what they're actually trying to procure, but they will try to buy a bridge, whether it's software, whether it's servers, whether it's man hours or whatever. Basically, all public tender procedures originate from infrastructure projects, and most of the procurement officers will approach an IT project as if it were building a road or a bridge. And that's a problem, because a software architecture by nature is way more modular and layered, and also has different types of interfaces and ongoing services, etc., than you would have with a piece of road. So, actually, there's life after the procurement process. And this is a change of attitude for a lot of procurement officers nowadays, because instead of only being involved in the first acquisition, they will now also become ongoing contract partners in the ongoing performance of the contract. But modularity is a key word that's bobbing up quite a lot lately. Especially in the Netherlands, we've had a parliamentary inquiry onto why so many government IT projects tend to go over budget and tend to never finish and tend to not deliver whatever they expected to. And basically, what they realized was, well, since we are buying software as if we are buying a bridge, we have an issue. Because for the bridge, it's pretty simple. The land is there, the roads is there, the rivers are there, they won't go anywhere. So basically, you can take years and years and years to build a bridge. But usually, if you don't have earthquakes or floods or other stuff, the connections will remain. But in software, especially process management software, ERP, document management, you have at least three factors outside of your IT project which influence the project. It's the IT infrastructure itself, which has a legacy, it has a complexity. It's the organization around the IT department, which will differ through time in their demands on a certain project. And also, it's the political reality surrounding a project, especially the Dutch parliamentary inquiry. One of the biggest lessons learned, not necessarily lessons well learned and well implemented, but at least they learned, was that the influence of the House of Parliament adding changes to a project during the project's realizations effectively meant that no project can ever finish. So what happened then? Modular procurement came in. And the idea about modular procurement, and Open Forum Europe has a very nice document regarding the whole concept of modular procurement in IT is about interoperability, vendor independence, digital sustainability by open standards, and especially also define an exit strategy before you even start implementing a product. And that's another lesson learned from the parliamentary inquiry in the Netherlands, which basically meant that all we've been doing for the past 20 years in IT was buy into products and have not a single idea if we were brought into the product what to do whenever the product would be obsolete or go away. The best example for this, for instance, was a document management system developed by the Ministry of Interior in the Netherlands based on Compaq work expeditor software, which was a plugin for Microsoft Outlook XP, and their whole organization, every signature in the organization, every document proposal or anything had to go through that system. So it was based on Office XP. Do you want to know when it was implemented? 2008. Which was a bit of a problem, because by then Compaq didn't exist anymore, and the product work expeditor did not exist anymore, and Microsoft Office XP was on, well, let's just say, terminal life support. So, and that's what happens quite a lot, and especially in the follow-up project after that, they've chosen, well, not entirely an open source system, but at least a system built on open standards, namely IBM FileNet, which was actually implemented impressively fast, considering that the first expeditor project took them 7 years, and they've implemented the FileNet system in under 2 years, which actually was a fun project to do. I was apart from that. But the thing with also FileNet and the approach was that instead of creating one homogeneous system to rule all the documents, FileNet would be simply a self-containing unit of documents. It wouldn't necessarily integrate with Outlook or any other productivity tool. It would just be a document management system, and it would interface with different systems. And this slide was actually... Let's just say I'm not sure if this slide is still relevant tomorrow or if the UK even still exists tomorrow. But let's just say that the UK government does something very wise, especially their digital services store. And what's really nice is modular software also enables smaller units of procurement. Smaller units of procurement also imply that SMEs can buy into that as well. And one of the core principles of the economic agenda of Europe is stimulating SME participation into procurement, into tenders. So whatever you need then is smaller units of procurement. And the UK government has defined a number of domains in which they will seek for partnerships with smaller parties, and which they allow smaller parties to actually apply through a marketplace to build such modules. It works beautifully. By now, almost 200 participants in there, among them a lot of SMEs. The Swedes do the same. Bit different model. They publish micro-challenges, micro-tenders in four domains. And they have outlined as base principles that they require open standards, and they require proven interoperability with existing applications through open standards, and they will actually demand also, when developing bespoke software, that the software intellectual property is then transferred to the Swedish government so that it can be reused within Swedish governments. So it's not 100% open source yet, but at least we now have reusable components from taxpayers' money, which is a plus. The US government, which I personally find a really interesting development, because, well, the US for me was always a bit analogous to, or synonymous to, well, the big software houses, the usual suspects, and therefore, well, I would not have expected them to adopt such a policy. But basically what the Department of Homeland Security got up with a couple of years ago, and by now it's the standard for IT development and IT procurement in the US government, is basically what they said was, we throw away waterfall and we now adopt Agile. And we want modular, reusable units. So that's interesting. It's actually a readable memo as well. You might even take a look at it. And in the Netherlands, we also, even in the Netherlands, I even would say, because traditionally we would really suck at EU tenders, we would make them as big as possible, including the kitchen sink and everything. But by now, the book in there is there for a reason, because we would procure anything, as be it the Delta Works, which are interesting stuff to look at, by the way. If you're ever in the Netherlands, I can recommend that. But Piano, which is the procurement expertise center for Dutch government, came up with a guide called Micro Challenges, which basically is a guideline for cutting up big tenders into smaller modular units. And they're now actually advocating downsizing the procurement projects instead of advocating bigger projects. It's an interesting paradigm change. And even in the Dutch ARBIT, which is the government guidelines for IT procurement, we have a couple of articles that actually, if you read those the obvious conclusion would be open source fits perfectly. Right? So, but there is one thing that open source is, or at least open source projects, are quite bad at. And that's about, let's just say, anything outside of software development. There's a lot of interest and attention in recent times going to user experience and user friendliness, and Colab is absolutely spearheading that. By making all their products have a very consistent look and feel and thinking about usability quite a lot. But we need more, especially with regards to the adoption of open source in niche markets, because all these niche markets have different compliancy models and guidelines. And the thing is that actually they're not that different. Basically what they all want you to do is adopt a risk management strategy and make sure that in your system you have some way of accountability. Who done what at which time, and who can tell me why that was a good idea? So traditional vendors, they simply state that they are compliant to all these different schemes, which in fact they aren't. And that's the nice thing about it, because if you actually read the compliance statements from Microsoft, Amazon, and Google, and I can go on quite a bit, and actually I did read them, you will not find a single concrete promise in there at all. It's all could be, should be, would be, might be, in a nutshell. But it reads beautifully. I mean, all that a procurement officer will read from this, oh, I have the word FIPS compliant in there, it must be good, etc., etc. So what should we do? We should do the same. Open source projects need to think about how to promote themselves in these branches, and it's actually not that hard. It's just a different set of documentation. It's just a different set of promotion tools. It's just a different way to enter a market. So open source projects traditionally are very inward focused based on their functionality. And in their community, they're very open and transparent, but by themselves, communities are a bit like walled gardens. We need to go outside there. And we also need to promote modular procurement. I mean, who's a business owner here? I am, and I see a couple more. Excellent. So who works for a business? The rest, probably. Help make this happen. Go to governmental networking events regarding tenders, because they are there, and actively ask for modules of development. Because, strange enough, governments and especially the procurement officers of government, now knowing that modular development and modular procurement is on the agenda, they actually want to learn. But you're the ones having to teach them in that aspect. I've been doing that for Dutch government for years by now. I've been giving workshops all over the place on how to do modular procurement. And the best thing is that giving those workshops has become a business model for me as well, because now I get paid to do that. Sweet. So, and adopt at least some basic outline of a risk management strategy in your open source project policies, because that's important as well. You should at least be aware of that. Those things are required when participating in governmental tenders. ANISA has some quite readable documents on that. And also we have the OSSTMM methodology regarding risk management, which gives a very clear indication of how you should approach risk management in general. So it's also readable. But in general, make sure that the world knows that you're doing this. So what do we usually do? We create great software, but we lack formal structure and organization. And we need to work on that. And we need to describe our governance structure, and we need to describe how things work. We need to be able to point to a set of documentation and information that a procurement officer can read and learn to understand the business model. So how do you buy something that's free? Not by itself, but you can buy the business model around it and you can make money from it. And we should. We make great software. We should make money out of it. And we should battle the issues and misconceptions that arise whenever the word free comes up, because free usually is not associated with freedom. In procurement, free is usually associated with worthless. And freedom is usually associated with anarchy, etc., etc. And we have to explain that message better, because it is the economy, and we need to start adopting models that make us be able to sell our great products. And there's some excellent examples of companies who do that. Red Hat, Colab, SUSE, for instance, they all have a premium enterprise support model, and it works just fine. There's different models as well. You have OpenStack and Drupal, which basically is an array of organizations collaborating on a certain project and providing services around the project. Take a look at them and learn from them. Because governments really want to buy open source, but in that sentence is a contradiction in turn, because you can't buy something that's free, but they can buy into the concept through our companies, and we should make them able to do so. Any questions? Well, go and sell open source.